This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I give you the option to sit wherever you'd like.
You can get a
couch or
a
chair or a chair.
I'll sit
where are you going?
Here? Is
okay.
Okay?
Yeah, it's fine. And I'll put this over here. I'm going to get a water. How about that? Do you want anything?
I'm good. Thank you.
I think I need to grab it.
Okay. Okay. What's the name of your dog?
Lucia Caterina.
What's her middle name?
Caterina. Lucia. Her name is Lucia, but then her full name is Lucia Caterina.
Yeah, but what's her middle name?
Caterina.
What's her last name?
Cho.
Did you all get married?
Yes. She's my daughter. She's my dog daughter.
What kind of dog is that?
She's a Chihuahua. She's a Chihuahua.
Oh, I should know
like
that.
A,
I should know that.
She's like a Chihuahua mix. She's a Chihuahua Dalmatian. Which I don't really
Chihuahua
see.
Chihuahua Dalmatian.
I don't see the Dalmatian part.
At all. Boy, not at all.
Mm-mm.
Oh, now they see her butt. Yeah, okay. I can see it now. She's got
girl.
A Dalmatian asshole.
Is it? Oh, it's like she is longer than most. She's like this much longer. Mm-hmm. Like 33% longer.
Show me this thing. I want to look at the outfit. So
it's
that's
like a,
made for.
It's made for dogs and cats. So
wow.
I have cats, too, so they jump in here.
A little kangaroo-ish.
It's very kangaroo-ish, and it's really handy.
Yeah,
she
I'll
loves
say.
It.
Yeah.
She loves it, so
I we just got a dog. Our family just got dog a week and a half ago at this point.
Wow.
Yeah.
You never had one?
No. God, I had one. Yeah, I had... I grew up with a dog.
Yeah.
And then that dog... they had to put it down when I was 9. And then I had a dog for over 15 years that I had to put down about a year and a half ago.
Oh, my God.
And I should have done it sooner. It was ridiculous.
It's hard not... I
know, but I knew that. It bummed me out that I was susceptible to that. I mean, that she was in a diaper and I had to carry her down up and downstairs. It was just, you know, I should have... done it sooner, but yeah, I love that dog. That was Ollie, Red Sox, and then my daughter really liked Ollie and took her loss much harder than my wife and I anticipated. And then we've been talking about getting a dog, and so we did. We had to get a hypoallergenic dog because Amber is allergic to a lot of stuff, but also dogs. And so we had to go to this place. Otherwise, it would have gotten a rescue. You know, I don't like the idea of breeding dogs for anyway. But we had no choice. It was either that or no dog. So
did you get like a Portuguese
water torture? Before we went to get the dog, I got water tortured by a Portuguese man.
Right.
That's what he said. I don't speak the language.
But those are like hypoallergenic or like isn't golden doodles?
Yeah. Well, what we got was a Bernedoodle, which is a Bernese mountain dog and a poodle, but it's way more Bernese mountain
it's beautiful.
Than poodle.
Is it a puppy?
Yeah.
Oh, cute.
Oh, no, you know, we got it. It was 7 weeks old.
Wow.
Yeah, it was brand new.
That's great.
Yeah. And she's pretty smart. She's really taken to, when we got her, she had never seen a city before. Like, she was out in the country in like rural, up like outside of Buffalo, and we drove up to, because it was a surprise for my daughter's birthday, and you know, to pick one out. So we went to this woman's house who does that stuff. Super Christian. It was weird. It was a Christian town, which I never would have guessed. It's a little tiny little place in north west New York State, and there's a Christian college, a small Christian college, and then the hotel we stayed at was very like kind of very grandma-ish, you know. You go in and there's nobody there. It was just like, here are your keys and an envelope, and there were only like 12 rooms, I think. Yeah. And when you walked in, they still had all the Christmas stuff up, and it took a second to for it all to sink in. And there's like, you know, John 3:16 stuff and posters, and, you know, inspirational biblical posters. And then they have like games, like a little thing by a TV, and nobody's there. There's nobody there. And and, you know, biblical trivia and, you know, really fun shit that kids love. And and then I've noticed, oh, they're playing a Christian music station. And it was all Christian, the whole, and the vibe. And then this woman's house, she had, you know, also the affirmations about, you know, and things that, you know, Jesus's strength and love and all that stuff.
It's so weird when it's like really like when they mix it into the patina of the place so that you don't notice. Like, there was a town like that I lived in when I was working in Georgia. It was Peachtree City.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was like really like coded, very Christian, but it was so far down into the mix of everything. Like, there was like a barbecue place, and it was all of the people that was like a family's place, but they were all in this one group photo, and they were all wearing white robes. And it was so creepy.
You mean like KKK robes?
Not with the hood, but like choir robes, but they were white.
Oh, right. Of course. Okay. But so they weren't. Okay.
It was, but it was like
weird.
But it
brought that to mind.
It was very KKK.
Because you were in Georgia.
But a casual KKK without the hood.
Right.
Like, you know, like a very.
So modern. Today's modern KKK. It's in your daddy's KKK. Yeah.
Like, but it's like that feeling of like a weird, it's where they're all wearing these white robes, and you think, oh, is this a baptism? And then they had a sign next to it that said, this all began with the love of a man and a woman. And it was like 50 people. It was just weird.
Yeah, they're it's the Dugars.
Barry Dugars.
Yeah.
A very good barbecue, but because it was mustard-based.
Really? That's South Carolina.
Yeah, so it was like
oh, you rarely find that in Georgia.
Themed to that.
So it was Southern Carolina style barbecue. Mm-hmm. Boy, you don't find that in Georgia very often at all.
No, it's good.
Interesting.
Delicious.
I'm not a fan of the
you
mustard.
You don't like it?
No, I mean, it's okay. I don't, I prefer it to like the ridiculously sweet sauce. Mm-hmm. I don't like those. I don't like that kind of barbecue. I'm like North Carolina. I'm a big, you know, vinegar, hot sauce kind of mop.
That's wonderful.
That's my favorite.
That's really delicious.
It is. That's my personal favorite for barbecue.
Yes, and, I agree.
And you shouldn't have to put sauce on it. You shouldn't.
You shouldn't. It should just be the smoke and then the slow cooking.
And the char, you know, the what do you call it? The outside. The crust
the
has
bark.
A name. Bark, thank you. Yes.
It's so good.
Yep.
It's so, I like all the other stuff too. Like, I like whatever they have, whether that's like the cornbread or the beans and all of that. I think it's like the cumulative effect of the barbecue.
Not so not much just, beans. But in Georgia, you get the one kind of barbecue-ish adjacent food that is specific to Georgia's Brunswick stew, which I really like, which is chicken.
Oh.
It's like a chicken, tomato-y, with corn and lima beans, and it's really good. It's called Brunswick stew.
It sounds like it sounds like succotash or something.
No, it's more of a stew, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, it's maybe has a little succotash qualities to it.
Well, anything with lima beans, you don't come across.
Nope. And you don't really notice them because I hate lima beans. I really don't.
Why do you hate lima beans?
They raped my father because they don't taste good to me. And I'm not a huge fan of the texture. And I'm not a big lima bean fan.
They're kind of mealy.
Yeah. And I don't like the it's got a kind of a slight sulfur quality to it that I don't care for. Hi. How old?
5.
Oh. Okay.
She's
I'm trying to think what's
she's into you. She's into you.
Well, it's either soap or was I eating some everything but the bagel spice or, you know, seasoned nuts. So she might be.
Oh, yeah.
Might be a little salt.
She's into you.
And then Peachtree City, that's where you were staying.
I lived in Peachtree City for like 3 years and then I got an apartment actually on, in Midtown, like on mm-hmm. Peachtree Boulevard mm-hmm. or whatever. But I was working there on a series. Peachtree Street. Everything's Peachtree in Atlanta.
There are a bunch of Peachtrees, yeah.
Yeah. I like living in the city of Atlanta. I think Atlanta is a great city. But Peachtree City is very boring.
Yeah, I was surprised when you told me you were living there. And I understand being somewhere because it's the proximity to set. And, you know, Atlanta traffic's just awful, horrendous.
It's so hard. But then I just sucked it up to, like, because I would rather just drive an hour to and from than live there all the time.
Yeah, I understand. Atlanta traffic's awful.
It's so awful, but it was like, you know, I kind of just sort of like, I preferred being able to just live in the city and then I could just go to the Beaufort Highway and eat whatever, like good.
Yeah,
good.
Oh man. Have you been to the farmer's market on Beaufort Highway?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Incredible.
It's one of the most amazing things. I the first time I went there, I was just like, I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed with emotion. And I also remember, you know, one of the sections, it's a massive store, food, you know, produce, everything, with every food from all over the world and their own huge seafood department that's mm-hmm. the size of a regular Kroger's. Each department is massive, and butchers, and the prices are ridiculously cheap. And like they have their own chicharrones thing mm-hmm. where they make. I mean, it's incredible. I stopped counting. I remember being like kind of when you walk in towards the right, there's all the fruits and vegetables, and they had. I got up to 11. I just stopped counting different types of eggplants, mm-hmm. varieties of eggplants I didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
And it's, it's like a football field big.
Incredible.
And it's, the prices are crazy good. And they have everything.
They have everything. And it's all really fresh. And it's just a fun experience to go to the market itself.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I been there now, you know, several times.
Yeah.
I don't know. Even if I don't have to go there, I just like
fun.
Going. Yeah. When I travel, when I go abroad, if not the first thing I do, I always go to a grocery store and not with the intention of buying a bunch of stuff, but just to check it out.
I just like to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I like to look at it and see. And, it's just very interesting to see what the dairy is like. Like what kind of milks and things that they have or yogurts.
Or boxes of milk.
Yeah.
Which makes
cheese.
Sense.
Cheese. Yep. I love cheese.
A box of cheese.
I love all of it.
And just boxes.
It's so good.
Like I go to the box store and saying, hey, what, do any of these boxes have food in them? and then, you know, I have a translator on my mm-hmm. phone. And then they, politely kick me out.
Yeah.
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 So, I'm going to tell you something that I don't know if you'll remember this, but it's stuck with me, obviously, and I've told it several times, and Amber, my wife, will bring it up occasionally. You and I were driving to San Francisco, which we used to go all the time, big groups of us, and, you know, and sometimes, you know, just individual cars or whatever, and we were both working, and so we drove up to San Francisco from LA, and you made an observation that is very astute, and you said you can always tell when especially like if you're traveling on the five, mm-hmm. right? Not the one or the 101 necessarily, but the five going from LA to San Francisco. And once you get over the grapevine, you can always tell if there's a large Mexican population because all the cinnamon Jolly Ranchers are gone. And it's true. It was a really good observation.
Yeah.
That's the way you can tell.
Yeah, that's how you know. I mean, it's like maybe nowadays it would be more, now there's more diversity in those gas station snacks.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have things that may be more kind of like catering.
Right, to the flaming taquitos or takis.
Or they would have like tamarind flavored kind, or it's things that are like covered in talkies, like gummies covered in talkie, or like
gummers. The tamarind chili limon.
Yeah, like the chili limon, or tahine. Yeah. Tahine covered gummies, which is now like sort of taking
over. Yeah, that's true. That was, I've been driving great distances cross country numerous times since I was, 18. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. And especially as a, working comic on the road, you do a lot of traveling. And the difference in the availability of and the amenities that are on the road now are, it's night and day. There used to be, you had no choice. There was no Starbucks. So you had no choice but to drink that shitty acid-based gas station coffee sometimes. Awful. Just to be able to drive through the night. It was terrible. And you there were no fruit juices. Like, what's a juice company, that the green machine or whatever? Like, none of those things available.
None of those, yeah.
You know, the closest you get was like high C or something.
Or like, there was just no energy drinks. I mean, I don't like those really either, but there was nothing like that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you would have Jolt Cola. No dose.
Yeah. Oh, Jolt Cola. That's right.
Jolt Cola, which had double the caffeine and double the sugar.
Yeah.
And that was what you would use as a sort of proxy energy
poor
drink.
Man's meth,
And no dose.
And no dose. Yeah. We'd Vivarin.
Oh, Mini Thins. Do you remember Mini Thins?
That
was like trucker speed. Mini Thins were like kind of up by the counter, which we'd check out. They were these little, they were like no-dose, but they were, I think it was like ephedrine.
Yeah.
So they were small doses of like a high, like a high caffeine pill, something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember Mini Thins.
Mini Thins were, me and, we would always take those, like me and Karen would always get those and come back and.
Karen Kilgariff.
One of the trips that you and I took, it was from San Francisco. We actually left after a show at the Improv. So it was super late. We probably left San Francisco around midnight.
And to get back to LA?
To get back to LA. And I remember that was the week that I decided I was gay. So then I wouldn't stop coming out to you. And I felt so bad because
you
were so
once.
Tired. Because
you really only have to.
I came out to you maybe four or five times during that trip. Because I think we didn't have a tape to listen to. I think we didn't have any radio. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but I remember coming out to you, and then I couldn't stop coming out.
Yeah, I guess.
And do you remember that it was too hot?
Dude, I didn't remember the coming out thing, but I do remember you were sleeping, right? And I was driving, I think, and you were sleeping, and the heat. And I'm not like a big heat guy, but you would wake up to turn it either off or down or up. I can't remember, but whatever it was, it made me physically very uncomfortable. I think it was you wanted the heat on.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is way too fucking, it's 90 degrees in here.
Yeah.
And then you go back to sleep, and then I'd turn the heat down, and then 7-8 minutes later, you go, wake up, turn the heat up, go back to sleep. We did that for about 300 miles.
Yeah. I think I was so exhausted from coming out so much that I had
is that really a
turn the heat on.
Exhausting thing?
No, I don't know what it was. With the relationship I was in was with a woman, and I realized now how inappropriate.
Wait, a woman?
No.
What?
She was my age now. I'm 55. She was in her like mid 50s.
Wow. Did I know her? Did I meet her?
No, I don't think you met her. She. But she was so much older than me, and
you're
now
not
I'm
thinking
like
of Chris Isaac, are you? Because he's a man.
No, I he was younger.
Yeah, okay.
and he is a man. That was a little bit
later. I teed that up for you, and you didn't.
Thank you.
You did not knock it out of the park.
I didn't. I just just
it just sort
foul.
Of tapped it, and it dribbled down, and I had to put it back on the
foul.
Tea stand.
But yeah, that seems kind of old. I don't think I would feel comfortable dating an 18. I was probably 18. I don't think I
were
would.
Were you 18, really?
About
no.
that time, I was 18. 18, 19, maybe. I think so.
Oh, man.
I think we were
no,
pretty young.
No. Because I didn't move to LA until I was, unless I was just staying with Janine or something.
You were just staying with Janine. You hadn't moved to LA yet. This was like
shit,
early
okay.
on. This was like when you came with Craig.
Craig,
that horrible friend of yours. He was so mean. He was
who?
Blonde and he had
who
glasses.
Are you talking about?
Your friend Craig. And
I don't know who you're talking about.
You don't know.
Blonde with glasses.
And he, I had a bag that said, like, it was like some sort of like a weird designer bag, but then it would said it's a New York, London, Paris, whatever. And he goes, he came and he said, where did you get it? New York, London, or Paris? And I was like, I was so mad. Don't you remember, Craig?
Well, first of all, that doesn't sound like a mean thing.
It's not. It's just stupid.
No, I think you overreacted.
I overreacted. And I don't know
but
why.
But you've harbored this thing for
40 years.
My friend Craig, who I don't know who
you
you're talking
remember?
About.
Was he in Cross Comedy? Maybe? No.
Craig. Is there a Craig? No, there was no. There was. I'm trying to. Was he a comic?
I don't believe he was a comic. Janine hated him too. Janine's like, fucking Craig. Hated him.
From Boston. Wait, you said blonde hair and glasses?
Yeah.
Was it Chris?
Maybe
Crescino?
Maybe it's Chris.
He's the only one that kind of would fit that description. Okay.
Anyway, that's what I remember.
I'm going to break up with him.
Yeah, don't talk to him anymore.
Yeah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Do you ever feel like money is just flying out of your account and you have no idea where it's going? It could be all those subscriptions. Think about it. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, parenting apps, it's endless. If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? Probably not. Rocket Money can help you find out what subscriptions you're actually spending money on. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/senses. That's rocketmoney.com/senses. rocketmoney.com/senses.
I also remember the photo that you took at Sears.
Yeah, yes.
Which is at the in the kids section.
Yep.
Where they had like the carpeted stairs for the baby.
Yep.
And then you had like perched your body up on them like you were a newborn.
Like they had like the ABC blocks and toys and stuff. The reason I did it is because I got some potential gig and they're like, can you send headshots? And I didn't have any headshots. So the cheapest thing to do was to go to the Sears Portrait Studio in Santa Monica. And it was, you know, they had a coupon, you know, because they want to sell you multiple copies of like the 8x10s and the wallet size. And I just got the cheapest package. And, you know, as opposed to going to some guy and, you know, having the whole fucking thing for $150 or however much they charge and all that stuff. I just got, I went to the, the baby photography student. They were like, sure, get in there. And it was like $40. And I got the package, which was, you know, the wallet size weren't going to do anything for me, but I got like four, you know, 8x10s that I was able to send to the club. And I got Letraset. And I just put it, you know, stuck them on the thing. And then that was my headshot.
It was so funny. Do you still have that shot? Somewhere, do you have a
Eddie? I don't have it, but it's been reprinted in the Mr. Show What Happened book.
Good.
There's a copy of it. You can see it.
I have to see it because it's such a funny photo because your eyes are unfocused.
Yes.
You took it like a baby, which
yes, I did.
You were in
looking
character.
Off to the side with a kind of wry smile.
It's so funny. And you had quite long hair.
Oh, I still had the Jufro. Yeah, that was early. That was pretty early. So that was, Jufro. I hadn't really started balding yet and glasses.
So funny. It's so funny. Also, the other thing I remember is when you did a set at the Improv, and you actually did a what is it, like a somersault in the air? You flipped all the way around, like a three.
No,
you did. You.
I can't do that. I would have broken my neck.
It was in before you do that song with the INXS song.
Holy shit! That's going way back.
Yeah. So,
wow.
And you flipped all the way around, like, because I was so shocked that you did. And I think you just used the physical momentum of spinning the microphone, but then also, so the microphone.
Man, that's an old bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, wow, man. Boy, you and I go way, way back.
Yeah. But you flipped all the way around. I really do think you did flip all the way around. You don't remember flipping all the way around?
No. I mean, I used to do that bit. It was the guy who was hyperventilating, and it turns into the guy who was like, I can't remember the context of it or the premise, but it's about when you're a kid in school and you're I said something or was doing this other bit, and it's like when you're in school and you're caught doing something bad when you're a little kid, and then, you know, they can't, they end up hyperventilating when they're explaining, like, no, because, all right, I was, and then it starts hyperventilating and it gets pretty manic, and then the INXS song kicks in, and then I start dancing, and it's just dumb, weird.
It's so good.
Weird.
It's really exciting.
That I would never do. That's very much a, you know, 20-year-old me stand-up thing.
Which is, like, I think, I mean, still, like, you know, I think back in the period, and there are things that really stick with me that I never forgot. Like, there was one sketch that you did. I don't know if it was it wasn't Mr. Show, but it was a predecessor to Mr. Show, where you doing something with Laura Keitlinger, and you were in front of a kitchen sink, and you were wearing like a 1930s like boudoir silk jump jumpsuit.
What?
And you, is it corduroy? And you slapped Laura and she slapped you.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
It was something like a weird, I don't know what it was, but it was like a domestic scene, but you were like French.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a film.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that was Louis C.K. So it was, and Laura and I were in it. He wrote it. The premise was, yeah, it was like black and white, and it was one of the first things he did. It was like elementary school French, but delivered with very, you know, like a you know, art house, you know, yeah. Dans ma poche, you know, and then all the things were, and then it was subtitled like the book is on the chair, and yeah. It was all that stuff, and then yeah, that was a Louis. We do that across comedy, yeah, and yeah, that was Louis.
It was cross comedy.
Yeah, yeah, that was fun. That was a funny thing.
It was so funny. But yeah. Do you remember? It was like a 1930s like silk short. Like
I don't remember that so much, but makes sense.
It was very good.
Okay. That would have been in Boston, yeah.
Yeah.
It was so, the only thing comparable to the Boston scene, comedy-wise, stand-up comedy, was San Francisco. Because mm-hmm. you're two big, you know, magnets were New York and LA, and, but as far as like, you know, the indie, creative, like the scene of, almost like an, you know, an artistic community, you know, mm-hmm. out in, Joshua Tree or something like that, or Marfa, Texas or something like that. But it was, but you know, they were, hyper creative and you know, fertile ground for you know, what eventually became called the alternative scene, which there is no alternative anymore, but yeah, Boston and San Francisco were quite comparable, and there's no other place like it. Houston, not Chicago. I'm trying to think of other there were little scenes like Seattle, but nothing like Boston and San Francisco.
Where did you stay in, because in San Francisco, people would stay at Ron Lynch's. Where did people stay when they went to Boston?
I mean, sometimes people would crash at our, you know, I was in a bunch of different places, but there were, I had several roommates, you know, and over the years in different places, and people would crash there. It depends on who it was. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes maybe John Ennis, you know, stay at Ennis's. I'm trying to think. Kozlowski sometimes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Paul Kozlowski. I mean, just various, mm-hmm. you know, whoever had a place.
I never went. I only played Boston a couple of times. I mean, I go there now, but back then, like, I would go and I would do shows at, like, the Comedy Connection. Mm-hmm. And I would always do so poorly that everybody would come out from the green room to watch me because I would be bombing so bad. Like the silence would be so deafening that people would have to come out and watch and see why.
I've never seen you bomb, but were you a good bomber or no?
No, because I just get mad mm-hmm. and then I don't know how to exit gracefully. Mm-hmm. And then I will stay on for far longer than I should.
That's kind of like a, you know, common rookie move that I think we all have been guilty of, that thing where you're like, I'm going to go out on a laugh, God damn it. You know, yeah. And you just end up, and everyone is sensing, yourself as well, like, get the fuck off. Nobody gives a shit. It's okay to not get off on a laugh.
Yeah.
Just go. Please go. Yeah.
I just won't get off. And then I get so somehow indignant about it.
Yeah. No, everybody goes through that. Everybody.
It's really immature, and I don't know what to do. Like, I get really befuddled.
Well, you still don't have that happen, do you?
Not in the same way. Like, and if it is going poorly, then I just leave, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm like, I don't.
Well, that's the right thing to do.
I don't have to do anything. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's totally
and you
fine.
Set, you get a little fire accelerator, light something on fire, walk out.
Just that's get an accelerant. Any kind of accelerant will do.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Accelerant. Yes.
But it's really like, it's so disheartening when you are just trying. I think nowadays when it happens, it's more like, oh, I did this to myself. Like, because I did it like I took a terrible corporate gig or something where I just have, no, they don't want comedy at all. Mm-hmm. They don't want this. That's the worst.
It turned out okay. I'll preface it with it was actually okay, but I took this a couple years ago, took this gig that I would never, ever in a million years, but they paid me a lot of money to go to a suburb in Chicago, and it was like a company, but a small business party, right? And they're big fans, and it was like, I think it was combo, like birthday party and their company or Christmas party, I don't know, whatever it was. And I never would have done it, except they offered me a substantial amount of money. And I was like, okay, I'll go. And it turned out, it's like, I want to say maybe 40 people, 35 people in a restaurant that they had just sort of shut down this room in the restaurant, this area, and there's no place to put me, and I'm just sort of hanging out until it's time. There's no stage. It's literally, and like, you know, I have one of those like Radio Shack mics, and it was just ridiculous. And all they wanted, you know, they were just kind of drunk by the time I got on there, like, Tobias, you know, rest development stuff. And again, it was fine. They were lovely, but not interested in stand up really. And it was just weird because I'm just standing there at their table and just trying to do 35 minutes. It was just a very uncomfortable, awkward.
That's so much time to do, too.
Yeah, I know.
That's hard.
It was, but you know, again, they were just it was goofy and weird, and you know, and I'm the kind of person who's, you know, constantly commenting on it and how awkward it is. Mm-hmm. And but they were nice. It was just not. I should have said, okay, what if you give me half the money and I'll just come and take pictures with everybody? We don't have to do this, the pretense of telling my act, you know, doing my act. So
yeah. The last one I did was kind of like it was for Canadian labor union leaders. It was a
big, that sounds good.
Huge like labor convention thing. And it was in Canada, and it was like just to look for different ways to talk about unionizing and talk about and it was also trying to address gay issues and trying to talk about gender in a new way and stuff. And so it was just it was just a weird thing because it was like weird to try to introduce comedy into something that is really like, it was in the middle of the day. And so it was not set up for that.
Daytime comedy is not good comedy.
The worst. And especially if it's like all in the midst of people making speeches about labor issues. So it was very discombobulating.
Is it me or is it hot in here?
Well, I'll run cold, so I'm always cold.
All right.
Do you need me to come out? I'll come out to you again and maybe.
Yeah. No, that sounds great. Is that how you warm up? you know, you get your blood going.
Are you hot? Are you
hot? Hot, but I'm also got this. Hey, what am I doing? No. I'm the one. I'm sitting here with a hoodie on. I'll take the hoodie off. Oh, Anya, I just noticed the grapes. Very nice. We have this thing going. They used to hide the grapes over there. I'm not going to get into it because I've spent too much time on other podcasts discussing the grapes.
No, please, keep going.
No. Anyway, they used to be in there, like hidden away.
Like it as a sort of art inside of the plastic, like
who the fuck knows? I don't know what these people. I don't know what these
nice.
People.
It's
nice. The only person who gets me. Thanks, Mark.
I think it's pretty.
So it's art now.
It's always been art.
That's why they're plastic. Yeah.
Don't you think it would look pretty right in that little?
Yeah, because it's sort of like.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Fine. Jesus Christ! Try to do one goddamn thing around here.
There. How's that for
Better.
You? An empty table.
Better.
Good.
Good.
Here's a funny anecdote. I don't know if Amber ever told you this. Early on in our dating, I think maybe a year, you know, we've been going out. And I don't know what station was on. We were listening to radio or a mix or something. And next thing you know, we're having sex. And in the middle, and I mean in the middle of having sex, this whatever song was on stopped and your stand-up came on. And then it was a discussion of like, do we keep fucking? And while Margaret's, I don't remember the bit. Mm-hmm. I know you were yelling.
Yeah.
And then, or do we just stop and turn it off? Well, what do we do here? You know? Mm-hmm. So, but that's a fond memory.
She said that she put her hand on your mouth and kept listening to it. She was like, she said that she put her hand over your mouth and so that we would shut up and you would have to listen to it.
Oh, that's kind of funny. That sounds like her.
Yeah.
I don't remember that, but that sounds like her.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
It's good.
The last thing you want to hear is your friend's stand-up.
You know what? The worst. I mean.
I'm going to come. No, I'm not. No. Nope, no,
nope,
I'm not.
Nope. Nope. The worst. That's the worst thing to. I mean, I don't know. I don't really listen to stand-up comedy.
Well, no. That. The worst thing would be the emerging broadcast thing. The
oh, you emergency. This is a
yeah, or an Amber Alert. That would be pretty bad.
Or it like it's just like a, or even my own comedy. I don't want to like.
Oh, that would be the worst. That would be
to listen
the worst.
To your own comedy.
Yes. Yes. Wow, you're masturbating. Let's make it a full. So you're jerking up, and then it's like, well, now
suddenly you hear your own comedy. Yeah. That's the worst.
Oh man, what else you got? Do you have anything to promote, plug?
What am I doing? I'm doing stand up. I am in Minneapolis, Milwaukee. Indianapolis later this month, mm-hmm. in February, and I'm just touring. I'm doing a bunch of different shows. Like it's really, I like doing shows like in that kind of relaxed pace where you're just going out for a weekend at a time.
Yeah,
it feels really good to do that.
I prefer touring. I like getting the material and then going out and just doing it.
Don't you get a bus? You get
I've had a bus before, but yeah. I didn't the last time because my daughter's in school now, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to be gone for, you know, she was on the bus. We had a pack and play put on the bus, and Amber scheduled she had a book coming out, so she scheduled book signings
great.
And stuff and readings around it was great. And she was on the bus, and Marlo and our nanny, and it was great. It was really cool. And that was, you know, months and months and months. But the last tour, the Worst Daddy in the World tour, was I would go out for like, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then come home. Mm-hmm. So that I wasn't gone all the time, mm-hmm. which kind of was tough because it's a lot of traveling and a lot of connecting flights and small planes and getting up at 7 after you've done a, you know, hour and a half show and
That's
went out
hard.
Drinking and did a meet and greet and all that stuff. So it was tough and I won't do it again. And Amber was saying like, God, don't do that again. It's fine. Just go out. You know, go out for a month or two mm-hmm. at a time, and we'll come out and visit you. And I'll say, yeah, it's just better and easier. Not that I'll have the bus, because that's really expensive.
It's really expensive, but it's so great.
It's great, but I was able to kind of justify it on some other tours, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to, because I'm not going to go out for you know, 3 months. And mm-hmm. when you can like amortize like that, it gets cheaper. But I won't, you know, I'll be coming back for a week. I'll go out for a month, come back for a week. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I'm not going to get a bus for, you know, unless there was like a specific region where I, you know, but yeah, it's so convenient. It's so great. But yeah, you know, and I did for the first time, on this last tour, airport hotels.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Which, some are not great. There are a couple really good ones, but the convenience is
the insane. Convenience is the best because you can just get up and like basically walk to your gate.
You do. You walk to the, everyone, you don't have to take a shuttle. You right. basically get up and, you know, you save an hour of
so
sleep,
good.
If not more.
It's and that's so precious. Like, you know what's a good one? I like the TWA one. At is it at LaGuardia or JFK?
Well, I live there, so unless I have a staycation, which yeah. is an absurd notion, I don't understand why people do that. I can't believe people are so fucking gullible to marketing. Like, it's genius. I know I live here, but I'm gonna go actually spend, you know, $700 in a hotel in a section of the town I can get to on the subway.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great. It's a staycation. What a dumb fucking idea. Anyway, so I haven't been,
yeah.
I haven't needed to, but I've, the Denver Airport Hotel, chef's kiss.
Which,
awesome. It's great.
Is it like right in the terminal?
It's not in the terminal, but it's adjacent and you just walk like maybe 25 yards
mm-hmm.
from the hotel into
so
like the corridor. And, but it's a nice hotel.
Yeah.
And the bar stays open and mm-hmm. we were all, it was fairly new when I was there. And I went to this, to the bar, which was like a big white kind of space age, modern horseshoe bar. And everybody, we were all from all different walks of life, you know, and everybody was like, this is great. Mm-hmm. We were all singing its praises. And the bartender is like, yeah, I'll stay open. We're supposed to close at midnight, but we'll stay open for you guys. And you guys want snacks, you know, potato chips? Like, yeah, great. You know, getting bowls of potato chips and it was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so convenient. And then you get to,
yeah.
sleep till, you know, 7:45 or 8,
yeah.
you know, and then
it's meaningful. It's yeah. meaningful when you're like traveling so much. It's just like
yeah.
such a that's so hard. It's just like the sleep thing.
Mm-hmm.
I get so much anxiety when I can't go to sleep. And it's hard to sleep after a show.
I drink so much and I keep saying each time, you know, like, okay, I'm going to take it easy tonight. No drinking after the show. And then, you know, because you're kind of hungover and out of it. And then by the time, you know, 12 hours later, you walk on stage, you're sobered up and your adrenaline's going. You have mm-hmm. a great show. It's really fun. And then, all right, let's get some drinks.
Yeah.
And that, you know, night after night. After
it's
night.
Really hard. It's really hard.
So you're struggling at the Spokane airport, you know. Where's the gate? I can't remember. Ma'am, do airports have Kleenex? Is there a place to get a Kleenex, like tissue? You know, they call it Kleenex, but that's the brand name. I'm sorry. I thought you worked here. All right. Where are you going? That's not a real place. All right. Anyway, I could have that conversation for a while.
Yeah, that's a good conversation to have.
Yeah. What else you got?
My dog is in my stomach.
Yeah.
She's here. I'm working on an album, and so I'm making some music. And that's always like a great
really?
Thing to do. Yeah, to like travel on a bus to do. Then
wait,
when you have a band.
What is the music? I didn't even know you played anything.
I play guitar, and so I decided to, this would be my third album, so this is the album that I want to make.
No shit. I had no idea, Margaret.
Yeah, it's cool.
Oh, wow.
I want to make an album that would have, like, I'm in the Bangles.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to be part of the Paisley Underground. So I'm making my album that would have been made, would have been released in, like, 1995.
Quite a while ago, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, like, a 30-year-old, like, record, but it's inspired by Jellyfish and the Bangles.
Yeah.
And
the 3 o'clock.
The 3 o'clock.
Sure, Paisley.
Maybe a little Gigolo Aunts, even. God. Little so, feeling.
Do you know Gigolo Aunts?
I love their music. I know that you know them.
Yeah. Holy yeah. shit. Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah. yeah. They're, God, there was that great, awesome era, that Boston era of Gigolo Aunts and
Miracle
Cave
Legion.
Dogs and... Miracle Legion was not Boston.
They were Seattle, I think, or I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Morphine was Boston, mm-hmm. Cave Dogs, Gigolo Aunts, The Bags.
How about Blake Babies too, right?
But Blake Babies. Galaxy 500.
Oh, yes, yes.
Lemonheads. Who else? The Figs.
Oh, I love the Figs.
Yeah, I think they're New York. They yeah. were New York. But you ever see Sloan, Canadian band?
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I love Sloan.
Wow, so I had no idea.
Yeah.
I apologize for that.
No,
I just
it's just another sort of thing of like
So you have two albums.
That have already come out, and then so this record will be the third one. And
that's
so,
right. Let me hang on. One, two,
one, two, three.
Three is right.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that
so
right?
I'm excited.
Casey, Google two ellipses, and then what comes next in the with a shrugging emoji.
Okay, got yeah. it.
Thank you. What are the first two called?
The first one is called Chodependent. And the second one is...
Love a good pun.
You have to have a pun. The second one's called American Myth.
So that's like miss with a lisp.
Myth. This is all stories like about Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh, okay.
So there's lots of songs about tragedy and blondes.
But also in that same vein of the power pop psychedelic
kind
stuff?
Of. It's all sort of power pop, but everything... Like I really am a power... I really think that I'm... I would belong up there with like a Marshall Crenshaw.
What about the Posies?
I do sing a bit with Ken Stringfellow.
Really?
We did some house songs. We did house kind of parties. It's
wow,
easier
I didn't
to
know
do
that.
With musicians. Like it's easier to do that with you go to a house and they host you and they have a party and then you do a concert.
Oh, I've been to plenty of those.
Yeah.
I did a show in Edmonton.
That's
I did
great.
A house party with Ted Leo.
Wow.
Yeah, me and Ted Leo went to this guy's house in Edmonton.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was a Kickstarter thing.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Like a reward
yeah.
thing. Oh, that's a whole side of you I had no idea, Margaret.
Yeah.
That's wild. So I'll have to, what labels are they on?
I put them all out on my own label. Mm-hmm. So it's just not really.
Do you have a physical copy of them or is it just on?
It's on the internet.
It's
on all of the Spotify or whatever.
All right, cool.
Yeah, everything is online. I mean,
Chodependent.
Chodependent and American.
I'm glad
myth.
You got to that. You
yes.
got to that pun. What are some other puns you've incorporated? Chonuff, y'all.
Never done that one. Never done Chonuff. A one woman show.
A one woman show, okay. And hey, it's called show business, not not free, not show fun or whatever. Show me the money.
Show me the money is a good one. I've never used that one.
Yeah. Well, you bank some of these and have them for later.
Yeah.
Chow truck, and it's like a tow truck. If you really want to stretch,
you know, might as well.
Like, and you could do a homage. You could do Chow Fly, and it could be like Blow Fly. You know, remember
yeah.
you did those party albums with like very X-rated
disco. Is that
Rudy
Ray Moore?
No.
Who's Blowfly? Oh, he Blowfly.
Own,
Blowfly was a singer.
Yeah, his own thing.
He was a great singer.
He was like the X-rated
yeah.
disco guy.
Yeah, his music was really, really naughty. Very dirty.
Very naughty.
Very naughty.
Saucy.
It's really great, though.
Ribald.
Really beautifully. Lots of horns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lots of hornies.
Hornies, horns. There's horns on this record, which is that's quite extravagant, and a little bit of strings. So I do veer into a Burt Bacharach kind of a.
Okay, but you get into that. Psychedelic pop it up.
Yeah,
remember we all used to go. I think you're part of this. So we would always go to the, what was the festival they had here in L.A.? The
International Pop Overthrow.
Yeah, International Pop Overthrow, yes. And really fun shows. And Robbie Rist was always in nine different bands.
He's always in a. He's a very big power pop guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like a. I just love that kind of genre. I just did a show with Petra Hayden, mm-hmm. who's also that kind of genre era.
Yeah, so good. That was a fun period to go from that amazing Boston music scene and then L.A., which was, you know, I remember. Were you with us when we went to see Weezer? That I think it was Doug Benson or Brian Posehn was like, hey, there's this new band you want to check out. And they were at the, it was an upstairs place on, I want to say, off of Las Palmas in Hollywood. There's like a place, you go upstairs, it's kind of, how do you describe it? It's, I don't even know, but it was, there was like a really small room and it was one of Weezer's early shows.
I don't remember that, but I do remember when, What's the Story, Morning Glory came out, and then you and Janine and some other people came over and we just listened to that record. It was just Oasis.
How about that? There's so many things. I'm going to sound like an old man now, but I am. And there's so many things I feel bad that people don't get to have this experience. But like, you used to really anticipate a new album,
mm-hmm.
and you know, going back to before I was, you know, like when you would, if a Beatles album came out, you know, which I didn't really experience, I was too young for that, but the idea that Radiohead, mm-hmm. there's a new Radiohead album gonna come, and then you'd go to Virgin or Amoeba, well, mm-hmm. Amoeba wasn't around then, but you know, you'd go and you'd get it. And you'd have a listening party, and we would all listen to the album. And now it just they don't do that anymore. They don't have
well.
That.
Also, people don't even listen to albums anymore,
right?
You know, like that's such a rarity too. Is if you get an album and you listen beginning to end, it's very rare.
Yeah.
For anybody to do that.
Yeah.
So albums often aren't produced with. So this record that I'm making, I'm actually making it so that it's something to be listened from beginning to end, however they come to it, they will, but there's different sonic things that I'm trying to put in that are.
What's the name of it? Did you come up with a name?
It's called Lucky Gift.
Say it again?
Lucky Gift.
Lucky Gift.
Yeah. It's
How
one
about,
of the songs.
Cho Lucky Gift.
It's Cho Lucky Gift.
All right. Margaret, I always end the show with a question from my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, did I pick one out? I did not. I guess I didn't. All right, Phony, you shut up now. Okay. This is a question for Margaret Cho. Where do I look? One?
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Marlo, who is going to be 7 very shortly. Margaret, where do you stand on Israel v. Palestine?
a ceasefire.
Ceasefire?
There should be a ceasefire.
Okay, there you go.
It's a ceasefire. I mean, there has to be a ceasefire.
Yes.
Don't you think? Doesn't she think? Does she think that? Does she believe that too?
She knows way more about this shit than I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's versed in it. All right. Well, let me give you this follow-up question.
Okay.
This is for real. This is a real question from Marlo. I love this question too. How much money would Donald Trump get from the Tooth Fairy? That's a real question.
Well, does he have any teeth to give to you? You can't just ask the Tooth Fairy. It's a transaction. It's not like the Tooth Fairy gives you anything. The Tooth Fairy gives you money in exchange for teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he has teeth to give.
I think the assumption is were a tooth to come out, were Donald Trump to have a tooth, whether it's extracted by somebody else, a professional, it gets knocked out, it just comes out on its own, were he to have that situation and he put the tooth under the pillow, how much money would Donald Trump get from the tooth fairy?
Well, the going rate, I think it's always been a dollar per tooth. But you know who you should ask? The lesbian periodontist. Do you remember that? The lesbian periodontist. Do you remember that? International Lesbian International Conspiracy of Lesbian Periodontists.
Yes, it was an early bit about, what was it? It was like the cartel, the lesbian dental cartel or something.
The lesbian periodontist.
I get to do my redneck voice because people didn't know who I was, so they didn't know if it was real or not. Like, I've had just about enough. It would come after somebody who I'd go up after somebody and whatever they said, it didn't matter. I would just have an issue. I just want to talk about, you know, these people up here, you know, getting up here trying to get laughs, talking about their genitalia and whatnot, and da da da. And then, yeah, the guy would veer off into the lesbian dental cartel. Yeah, yeah, I think that's what it was.
The lesbian periodontist.
Yeah, that's an old, but no, I'm not going to ask them because that's a question for you.
Yeah.
So you're saying the going rate is
I believe it's still going to be, no matter who the tooth is from, mm-hmm. it's still a dollar a tooth.
Okay.
I believe that.
Well, there's the answer.
That he would get a dollar per tooth.
Okay.
Unless, one time I got a $5 bill for a tooth. That, I don't know why. I think they just didn't have change.
The tooth fairy didn't have change? Yeah, that's tough. She's got two teeth gone now, and we are giving her Bitcoin. The first tooth was Bitcoin, and the second tooth was an NFT of Funky Monkey.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And then 401k. All right. Margaret Cho, thank you so much for coming
thank
down
you.
Here. Where are you living now?
I live up the street. I live really close by.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Don't you live in New York?
I live in New York, yeah.
Or don't you live in Hudson Valley?
No, I have a place in Sullivan County. Mm. Been there since before I met my wife. I mean, going on 17 years this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you have a telescope.
Do you know that story?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I think Amber and I talked about this when we did our episode, I think, but I was, it was before I met her, but I was sitting there, I was upstate, me and my dog, Ollie, and I had just done something that paid me a bunch of money, and I was like, oh, I was drunk too, and I was drunk and or high, and sitting on my deck, beautiful night. In the woods, rural, very rural, just, you know, tiny little town. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get a telescope. And I stupidly Googled and I looked at some telescopes. And I was like, this one. Clicked buy, put my credit card in. And I had it sent because I don't have mail because it's really in the woods. So I have a P.O. box. And for some reason, I couldn't go to a P.O. box. So I had it sent to the guy who made the house, constructed the house, built the house, who was a couple miles away. And then I totally forgot about it. And then about 3-4 weeks later, I get a call from the guy going, hey, did you get a telescope? And I was like, yeah, yeah, great, awesome. I'll come down and pick it up. What kind of car do you have? The GMC Acadia. Yeah, that's not gonna fit. I'm like, what? No, I'll put the seats down. No. And I go over there. He had to get his this massive truck because it was ridiculously big, and I never even stopped to think about it. I didn't look at it, and it's fucking. It's like, I want to say standing up, I'm 5'9", so it's probably 6'5", close to 7 feet. And then, and the, you know, the carton it's in is, you know, because it's all fragile glass and mirrors. And I couldn't figure it out. Couldn't figure out how to put it together. Got on the phone twice with this guy who's trying to walk me through it. And I'm like, and eventually I just had to donate it to a Montessori school.
Wow.
It was ridiculous. It was the dumbest. I was just drunk. And yeah. And I had a bunch of money. I was like, oh, I got this telescope. It'll be great. I could not make it work. And it's not meant for me. Yeah. It's meant for people.
Like a planetarium.
Yes. It was one of the dumbest things, drunk purchasing things I've ever done. Anyway, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Senses Working Overtime is a HeadGum podcast created and hosted by me, David Cross. The show is edited by Katie Skelton and engineered by Nicole Lyons with supervising producer Emma Foley. Thanks to Demi Druchin for our show art and Mark Rivers for our theme song. For more podcasts by HeadGum, visit HeadGum.com or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and maybe we'll read it on a future episode. I'm not going to do that. Thanks for listening.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
Hey guys, just announced a big show in Central Park on the Summer Stage, part of the Summer Stage series, called David Cross and Super Pals. That's going to be August 8th. It's going to be amazing. Got all kinds of really cool special guests. I know we got Bob Odenkirk, Sarah Silverman, Sean Patton, Fred Armisen, many, many, many more. Go to officialdavidcross.com. That'll have all the information for that. And the pre-sale, it just went out, and the pre-sale code is FUNFUN. I believe it's all caps. FUNFUN. David Cross and Super Pals. August 8th, Central Park. Come down.